Last week, our gospel ended with Simon, James, and John joining Jesus to become fishers of men. They and the other disciples will witness the cleansing of a leper, the healing of a paralytic, the calling of Matthew, confrontations regarding fasting, and a dispute about healing on the Sabbath. Jesus takes his disciples to the top of a mountain to pray and selects from them a group that become the 12 apostles. Our gospel today takes up the story from there. St. Luke makes a point about Jesus coming down or descending with his apostles. This helps us to recall his coming down from his Godhead to become human. He descends to heal our wounds. This puts Jesus into the middle of the crowd. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all. St. Ambrose, in his commentary on this passage, says that this was the only way the crowd would see him. This crowd included both the people of Israel and the Gentiles from Tyre and Sidon. As our opening song said, all are welcome. St. Luke uses this phrase to show that Jesus came for the sake of the whole world. Through nearness to Jesus, all people can be healed, so they have the strength to ascend with him up the mountain. That is to become his disciples. That is great news for us too. Jesus, raising his eyes toward his disciples, said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." This should get our attention if we want to call ourselves disciples. This Sermon on the Plain is very similar to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel. Almost all the words of Jesus reported by Luke are found in Matthew's version. Because Matthew includes sayings that were related to specifically Jewish Christian problems, Luke did not include those words for his predominantly Gentile Christian readers. At the core of this sermon is Jesus' teaching on the love of one's enemies that has as its source of motivation God's graciousness and compassion for all humanity, and Jesus' teaching on the love of one's neighbor that is characterized by forgiveness and generosity. The introductory portion of the sermon that we hear today consists of blessings and woes that address the real economic and social conditions of humanity, the poor and rich, the hungry and satisfied, those grieving, those laughing, the outcast, and the socially acceptable. To be blessed extols the fortunate condition of persons who are favored with the blessings of God. The woes, addressed as they are to the disciples of Jesus, threaten God's profound displeasure on those so blinded by their present fortunate situation that they do not recognize and appreciate the real values of God's kingdom. In all the blessings and woes, the present condition, indicated by now, will be reversed in the future, indicated by will be. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. St. John Chrysostom addressed these woes when he wrote, "This word woe is, after all, an exclamation of lament, so that it is as if he, Jesus, were lamenting their fate." Jesus is not condemning anyone, but is feeling bad that they have chosen poorly. In coming down to the level of his disciples, Jesus understands that we have choices in how we live in a world corrupted by sin. Our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah is also about these choices. "Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord." Jeremiah is writing for the people of Israel that will soon be removed from their homeland to Babylon and Egypt. This exile occurred in several waves, and he's addressing people that are going to be removed in the last wave. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he tells them this is a result of their own choices in not trusting in the Lord, because they were actually planning to ally themselves with the kingdoms around them instead of trusting God and God's plan for their salvation. There is a contrast between the person who depends for well-being on their own human strength and talents and the person who trusts in God. The cursing of the one and the blessing of the other are terms of their covenant with God. The covenant has a paradox, which is abidingly and always true. The attempt to put one's own life on a secure footing by a selfish reliance on their own abilities brings about their undoing. Trust in God, which implies obedience and may involve acting against one's own interests, is the way to life. This is the Christian definition of love, willing the good of the other for their sake. This paradox is crucial to an understanding of the covenant. Despite Jeremiah's emphasis on this life and prosperity, covenantal religion can never be calculating or self-seeking. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses had put this same choice to the people who had been rescued from Egypt and are about to enter the promised land. See, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing for obeying the commandments of the Lord your God, which I give you today, a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way I command you today to go after other gods whom you do not know. We have a distinct advantage today over the people of Israel, reflected in the banner behind me. Being pilgrims of hope reminds us God has given us His church and His sacraments as powerful aids in choosing to be blessed or cursed. We here this morning are fortunate in having witnessed the entrance into the catechumenate order of these people who are showing us how anxious they are to approach these sacraments. The values of this world are not the values that lead us to eternal life. Jesus came down from the Father, just as He came down from the mountain, to look us in the eye, to let us know He loves us and He cares about us. He is here with us today. When we accept His word and make our choices in this life as He desires, we understand what He means when He promises, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven."